Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. And the governor of New York State, Andrew Cuomo, joins Dr. Alan Chartok this morning. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Are you there, Your Excellency?
I am here, Doctor. How are you?
Yes, if you're going to use my formal title, I'll use yours, which is Excellency.
You Excellency. Know, as you Depends may on the day. Sometimes
well,
I have a different title.
Yeah. Speaking of the days, it's Lent now, as I understand religion. Are you giving anything up?
I'm giving up being nice to the press for Lent. It's hard, but I think it's worth doing.
Well, and could you just expand on that a little bit? What have they done to tick you off?
No, nothing. I just think I'll try a different mode for Lent.
Okay. Listen, you're asking the legislature for $40 million in emergency funding towards the coronavirus preparation. What do you want to use it for, and how is New York preparing? I think it's on everybody's mind.
It is on everybody's mind, Alan, and let's be semi-serious for a moment, because it is important for people to feel that they're getting the accurate information and to feel that the proper preparation is being done. I spoke to Vice President Pence yesterday, who the president put in charge of the effort, which signaled something.
What?
You know, I saw the president at the press conference today was saying, well, why wasn't the HHS secretary good enough? Because the putting in the vice president is a recognition that this is a government-wide mobilization. And that's intelligent. And this for this state government, preparedness means you have to have a plan for almost every contingency. Now, they have a number of contingencies here, right? You go from one theory, which is in a couple of months, seasonal flu virus, and it moves on to the World Health Organization using the word pandemic today. So it is a government-wide mobilization. There's no reason now for people to be afraid or panic or have undue anxiety. This is not the Ebola virus. The mortality rate is higher than the flu, but it's not certainly what the Ebola virus was, et cetera. But the numbers could be high and the volume could be high. And that poses a major challenge. So my job is to make sure the state has mobilized for it and we're prepared.
So what are you doing?
That's what the $40 million is all about.
So what are you doing?
Well, first, the $40 million supplemental appropriation is to purchase equipment, have staff ready just in case we need it. Getting the equipment, Alan, is difficult. Most of this equipment, the masks, the gowns, yeah, gloves, are manufactured in China, believe it or not. And if the numbers do get as bad as they predict, if you don't have the equipment in place and stockpiled, you might be in a bad situation. We're working on issues like that. And then just a full mobilization plan. You know, I got a call from CDC last week. And they said, Governor, we have a cruise ship coming in with people on it who have to be tested and quarantined. Can you please handle it? And we did, but it triggered an immediate drill. How do you transport them? In what equipment? Where do you bring them? To a hotel? What do you do with the hotel workers? How do you quarantine someone for 14 days? So all of those logistics have to be worked out before.
So what did you do with the cruise ship?
Well, we had to get a medical transport. By the way, you don't have tremendous capacity in medical transports. This is not normally what we do. Then they have to be brought to a hotel. That hotel has to be prepared. You have to have a quarantine protocol that the entire state accepts and operates on. You can't have different protocols in Nassau County and Albany County. The hotel has to be prepared. The workers have to be prepared. They need the right equipment. They need the right training. And then you have to have a testing capacity, which is the immediate question. We don't now have, in my opinion, the testing capacity to do the volume that we could be doing.
And you had to ask the feds for that. You had to ask, Governor, you had to ask the feds for permission for us to do that testing?
Yes, because they had the specific test, and they're doing all the testing. So what you're doing, you see now, is all these states sending to Washington. You then have to wait for 2 or 3 days to get the test results. What do I do with the person for the 2 or 3 days? New York, we have the capacity to do the test ourselves. We have a very sophisticated Wadsworth laboratory.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So why doesn't the CDC let us or authorize us to do the official test? We can test because we have it.
So where was where was that hospital? You said that we were
in New York City.
Well, you can't tell us the name of it?
You know, at this point, it's so sensitive, Alan. The specific names I'd rather not get into now, because we just want to make sure before we communicate information that everybody knows that we're talking about specific places.
Now, you've been having somewhat of a duel with the President of the United States over our northern border and letting people in and out easily or not. So could the poor relationship between New York and the federal government right now impact coronavirus preparation? Is communication where it needs to be?
It would never affect the coronavirus. I had a good conversation with the Vice President yesterday. The Vice President said to me that CDC mentioned to him how cooperative and professional we've been. I assumed it was referring back to the incident that I just mentioned to you on that CDC calling and saying, can you take responsibility for the activities off the cruise ship? Which, you know, this was very early on in the game, Alan, and it's not a small undertaking. But short answer is no. And remember, the relationship with the president, it is a highly functional relationship. I call the president. He calls me back in a very short period of time. I ask for a meeting. I get a meeting in a very short period of time. To the extent the relationship is not productive, this is a democratic state. And this is a very political administration, which has said to the democratic states all across this country, they're getting a different type of treatment. Remember what the tax reform plan said was we're taking money from the Democratic states and we're giving it to the Republican states. It's sort of like nothing personal. It's political. It's you're a Democratic state and I'm giving it funds to the red states. And that is how a partisan administration operates. But it's almost as if it's not personal. It's political. Now, my government doesn't operate that way, but this administration does.
So let me ask you about this. Congresswoman Stefanik is up there in the North Country. You have been very clear about your displeasure with the president. You went to visit him in the White House, making it tougher for New Yorkers to get across the border. Now we're hearing, I think, from the Trump administration that they may be open to some kind of compromise because she's in a hell of a situation up there, isn't she?
Well, I think that's what they're feeling. They're feeling political heat. Also, Alan, I think I have exposed the facts of the situation. And at one point, if you're able to expose the facts of a complicated issue in this hyper-partisan environment where media tends to communicate more with tweets, if you can expose the facts, at one point it becomes undeniable. What they did to us with the Trusted Traveler program was purely for leverage. It has nothing to do with their access to the DMV database.
So did you get levered?
Oh, there's no doubt that they are levering us.
No, I mean, did you react by giving up too much?
Oh, no, we haven't given up anything.
Well, you did give them access to a lot of data, which in the beginning, I believe, you were saying no to, but now you're saying everything but Social Security numbers.
No. I'm not saying that. Just because let's be clear. No one had talked about the sub-universe of the Trusted Traveler program people. My position was you will get no information from my database for immigration purposes, period. End of story. They then said, okay, we'll cancel the Trusted Traveler program. I said, what is the Trusted Traveler program? 200,000 New Yorkers who go to the federal government on their own volition, meet with a federal official, give them a passport, go through an interview, and get a federal clearance. I said, if New Yorkers want to do that, and they already went to the federal government and gave them every document that they had, fine. Then you can have information to their data because they already gave you their data. That's it. You can't use it for immigration, but if somebody applied for a Trusted Traveler program and gave you their data, if Dr. Shartok went and met with the federal official and gave them his passport, et cetera, then you can have Dr. Shartok's DMV data because it's less than Dr. Shartok gave the federal government already. But that's it.
Okay, I want to, we only have a couple of minutes. I want to be, God, this really goes fast. Would you sign a budget now that doesn't change the bail rules, which many New Yorkers are worried about? You said this week that lawmakers should make changes to the bail reform within the state budget, which is due in just over a month. So what actual changes, no baloney, what actual changes do you currently support?
We have to improve the bail reform bill. I won't sign a budget without it.
So what is it? Can you give us specifics?
Well, my idea, my proposal, is what it was last year. What we enacted is not what I proposed. It was a product of negotiation with the legislature. My proposal was and is total elimination of cash bail. We did a partial elimination in this bill. I support a total elimination because I believe the cash bail system is repugnant to justice. Mm-hmm. I support total elimination. And if you have no cash bail, then you do need a judicial discretion system with specific parameters, not discretion as in unfettered judicial discretion, whatever a judge thinks. A judge's decision based on data and evidence with due process, with the right to appeal, with a hearing.
Well, that sounds
reasonable. That would be, I think, the best system in the country.
Well, that sounds reasonable to me. Speaker Hastie?
I have to speak with the Senate and with the Assembly about it. But I think my opinion is we must improve the system, and it must be done in the budget.
Okay. New York was one of the states on the losing side of a lawsuit against the administration this week when an appeals court said the federal government can require municipalities that receive grants for law enforcement to cooperate with immigration authorities. So what's New York's next step now considering that ruling?
We're going to appeal the ruling, but that is what this whole Trusted Traveler program is all about, right? And that's why it makes it clear that this was just leverage and extortion. Their point is we want all the data so we can do immigration. They're suing the states. There are 10 states that have undocumented driver's licenses, where undocumented people have a driver's license. They're suing those states saying we want all the data. You can't keep secret the undocumented driver's license data. I'm saying, the other states are saying, you can't have our undocumented driver's license data, and you can't have any DMV data for immigration purposes. That's what the federal government is suing about. They took the added step in New York of saying, and by the way, we're going to hold these Trusted Traveler people hostage to get all the data. I said, you can hold them hostage. I'm not going to respond to extortion and bullying, but we're not going to give our DMV data for immigration purposes, period.
That you make clear. Assembly Majority Leader Crystal People-Stokes told me this week on the Capitol Connection that she thinks marijuana can get done in the budget or after the budget. You've been talking about in the budget. What's going on?
I think the best chance to get it done is in the budget. I think it's a tough vote for the legislature. I think they're running for election, some of them in the legislature. They're running for election. You have people in the assembly who are afraid of a primary. You have people in the state senate who are afraid of a general election. And I think given the political heat in the environment, the best, highest probability that it will happen is in the budget. And that's what I said last year. And that's what I'm saying again this year. The assembly woman is right. It can happen after the budget. It could have happened after the budget last year, and it didn't. Hope springs eternal, but I still think the best chance is in the budget.
What about your marijuana tour? Is that still happening?
Yes. It's to inform, you know, if for the legislature, sometimes they see these issues as just a binary up and down. We did it or we didn't do it. For me, it's not just did we do it or we didn't do it, but if we did we do it correctly? Is the program intelligent? Can we actually implement it? Is it smart? Have we thought through all the consequences? Right? When you make major changes, they have consequences. Bail reform had consequences. Undocumented driver's license had consequences. We're living them now. But we want to implement marijuana. But we want to have medical marijuana companies participate. But we want to have minority entrepreneurs get licenses. But we want the workers to be union workers. You can't do all of those things. You know, sometimes it becomes mutually exclusive. How do you give the current medical companies, medical marijuana companies, which tend to be corporations, tend to be owned, frankly, by more white males. We give them licenses, but then how do we also give most people more licenses to minority smaller stores in impacted communities if we just gave them to the medical marijuana companies? And how do we do new entrepreneurs, but say all the workers have to be unionized? You know, let's think it all through. And that's what the tour is about, to actually educate us on not just do we do it, do we not do it, do we do it right?
Are you bringing them with you? You're bringing Hasty and People-Stokes and Cousins along with you?
Yeah, they will be invited. I invited the leaders to the regional forum I did on marijuana with the regional governors.
Yeah.
And that was eye-opening, right? Because there are a lot of questions. It's not, you know, the legislature sometimes see it as an up or down vote. I then have to implement it and live with it. And sometimes when you don't do it right on the front end, you live with it on the back end. Marijuana, what do the state police do? How do they enforce the laws? What's the test? So I just want to make sure it's all thought through.
Okay, I want to go back to the Trusted Traveler program. Perhaps I wasn't listening carefully enough, which is a bad habit. But Governor, are we at a point where there'll be a compromise?
I do not know. I am not going to change my position. I will never allow the DMV database to be used for immigration purposes. I would give them the Trusted Traveler program people. And I believe what I have done successfully is exposed that the holding of the Trusted Traveler program people has no purpose besides leverage and extortion. And I think that revelation is very powerful.
I want to go back to something we talked about a couple of weeks ago. You proposed a $3 billion Environmental Bond Act this year to help remediate damage from climate change. Is that still the best way for New York to fund this?
We have an overall program of $33 billion. The $3 billion is within that. We're doing two things. One, a Mother Nature restoration resiliency effort, restoring some of the damage we did to Mother Nature. That's primarily in the bond issue. And second, an acceleration of our transition to renewables. You know, Alan, everybody is against fossil fuels. I get it. But then you have to have the alternative in place, right? Candles are not a power source for our economy. So you need the renewables. Right now, it takes us 6, 7, 8 years to approve a renewable energy project. The legislature set these aggressive goals. I supported the aggressive goals. Great, now we beat our chest and we say we have these great aggressive goals, but we don't have a way to achieve them at this point. So you have to come up with a faster way to approve renewable projects. You have to do it in concert with the local community. If you fight the local community, they'll bring you to court and it'll never happen. So we have that in the budget also. But look, there are some issues where if we do not address them, they will defeat us. Climate change is one of them. Alan, you know, at this rate, you want to talk about trajectories and worst-case scenarios on, like, coronavirus. Worst-case scenario on climate change, the planet doesn't survive yep. for my daughter's lifetime. Yes, I am deadly serious on the issue.
Okay. South Carolina primary, you were a Biden friend, let's put it that way, in the beginning.
Fair, yes.
What'd you say? Fair, right?
Fair.
I always want to do that. So so now I think coronavirus actually helps Biden's chances. Bloomberg has not done well in the debates. We're going to need somebody, I think, at the head of the government who has dealt with crises before. All of a sudden, Biden's looking better.
Look, they're forecasting a win in South Carolina. Then they're raising the bar a little bit. They're saying now Biden has to have a big win. I'm not being cute or evasive when I say we have to watch this. Because, Alan, look how many times it's changed. In the last 3 weeks,
yeah.
How many times have we proclaimed somebody dead and somebody alive? and it's like the Lazarus Project, right?
Yep.
It has to play out. I think Joe Biden does present himself as the experienced, mature person. People are familiar with him. Coronavirus, to the extent it says, you know, this thing called government and politics, you actually have to know what you're talking about, and it can be very serious. And if you don't have an experienced person running the government, bad things can happen.
Is that Bernie? A non-experienced person, would that be Bernie Sanders?
No, I was doing it on the inverse, that Joe Biden does present experience. But you know, who knows what affects it? Does the President Trump affect it? Does coronavirus affect it? Does the stock market affect it? You know, you could argue this six ways from Sunday. If you think it's about the stock market, then you could say maybe we have Bloomberg because he can help with the stock market. Who knows what people think? I think there are too many variables. We'll know, right? Super Tuesday is next week. We'll know.
Now, we hear rumors, I don't know if they're true or not, that Nancy Pelosi says that if Bernie is the candidate, they might lose the House. That would be a disaster, wouldn't it?
Oh, losing the House would be a disaster. I did not hear that rumor about Speaker Pelosi, but I think the point that we're not just electing a president, we have the House on the ballot, and we have the Senate on the ballot, is a very important point. And look, if Donald Trump were to be reelected and have both houses, I mean, that is like a nightmare scenario. We need the president, but we also want a House and a Senate. And they are all connected, right, in some ways, to some extent. So I'm sure the Speaker's worried about the House. That's natural.
Eric Trump is saying the Democrats are, you know, basically overjoyed about this coronavirus thing. What a thing to say, huh?
I heard that secondhand. Look, this coronavirus, people are afraid. I don't think we should be flippant or politicize it. I think we have to be very careful what we say. This is a serious situation. They want information. They want the truth. They want to feel that the government is telling them the truth. They want to be able to believe it. And they want to know that the government is prepared. And by the way, they should. This is a massive undertaking for government. This requires exquisite logistical detail. And by the way, government is not naturally good at exquisite detail.
Governor, very quickly, because we only have 2 minutes. I'm so sorry.
Yep.
So I want to go back to the Sanders question. Can the Democrats keep the House of Representatives if Sanders is leading the ticket?
Look, I think the election is going to be a referendum on Donald Trump, right? So I think any candidate is viable against Donald Trump.
Okay. Sounds more than reasonable. Governor, I don't know why you keep coming back and talking to us, but we are delighted that you are. And we want to thank you for doing it. Thank you for doing it. And we hope we'll see you again. That this has really been very educational for me. Thanks again.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Doctor.